In 1927, Charles Lindbergh flew solo from New York to Paris. President Calvin Coolidge announced he would not run for re-election. A tube of Pepsodent toothpaste cost 50 cents. The hit songs of the day were Old Man River and Bill from the musical Showboat. And in 1927, Hoagie Carmichael wrote a melody that would become one of the greatest hits of all time, Stardust. Stardust is part of the NPR 100, our list of the 100 most important American musical works of the 20th century. NPR's Susan Stamberg has our story.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely nights dreaming of a song. The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you. When our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration.
Hoagie Carmichael, lanky and slouched at the piano, usually with a cigarette hanging on his lip and squinting up to avoid the smoke. Hoagie Carmichael loved singing Stardust. So did America and the world. In France, it's Étoile d'amour. In Mexico, Polvo de Estrellas. In Japan, Suta Adasuto. Stardust has been recorded almost 2,000 times. 11 years after it was written, it was such a staple that it figured in one of radio's most historic broadcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has...
Halloween 1938, Orson Welles' War of the Worlds. The CBS broadcast caused hysteria. Listeners thought Martians really were invading New Jersey because the fake bulletin sounded so real.
In a few moments, we will take you to the Princeton Observatory at Princeton, New Jersey. We return you until then to the music of Ramon Raquello and his orchestra.
Hoagland Howard Carmichael was 28 when he wrote Stardust. In high school, he'd fallen in love with the hot jazz of the 20s. Cornetist Bix Beiderbecke was a hero. At Indiana University, Carmichael formed a student band. Quit school to make music, went back to school, got a law degree, practiced briefly in Florida, then went home to Indiana. He told the BBC how this tune came to him.
Well, I got the idea of just walking across the campus one night, my university campus where I went to school. I just left the college hangout called the Book Nook, and I started whistling, and I whistled this opening strain of Stardust, and I knew that I had something very strange and different.
Stardust rambles and roams like a truant schoolboy in a meadow, Oscar Hammerstein wrote. But composer Hoagie Carmichael almost forgot it. On campus that night, he rushed back to the Book Nook to tinker on the piano there, worked a bit more on the tune the next day. A few months passed, Carmichael said, then a childhood friend came to visit.
And so one night he said, Hoag, play that tune you wrote about 6 or 8 weeks ago. I said, what tune? He said, I just thought so. He said, I'll show you. He went over to the piano with one finger. He went, dung, dang, dang, dun, 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 dun. I said, oh, that, yeah. Would you believe that I had almost forgotten Stardust in that 6 or 7 weeks period? And if he hadn't have played it, I might never have continued with the song. Now, that's something that's never been written about or told.
And now the purple dusk of twilight time steals across the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart.
Hoagie Carmichael's Stardust did not begin as a lush romantic Sinatra ballad, nor did it have lyrics. Richard Sudhalter, whose biography of Carmichael will be published by Oxford University Press, says when the composer wrote Stardust, he had his jazz hero in mind.
His intention in writing this tune was to capture in the form of a melody the essence of a Bix Beiderbecke cornet solo.
Here's Beiderbecke and the Wolverines with an earlier Carmichael tune, Riverboat Shuffle. Thinking of Bix, Hoagy Carmichael hired a bunch of musicians working around his hometown, Indianapolis, and recorded Stardust for the first time on Halloween in 1927. Bandleader Isham Jones and his arranger Victor Young turned Stardust into a ballad. And the legend began. In Harlem, Duke Ellington and his band played it at the Cotton Club. So did Cab Calloway. New York music publisher Irving Mills decided the tune needed lyrics. America was standing around pianos singing in those days. In 1931, Mills got a young staff lyricist named Mitchell Parrish to write words for Stardust.
He was up from Louisiana. He was born in the South and moved to New York as a young man and took his chances on being a lyricist.
Again, biographer Richard Sudhalter.
Signed on, as people did in those days, with a publishing house, in this case Mills, and was a kind of lyricist for hire. Any melody that got thrown at him, he would add a lyric.
It's a beautifully written piece of work, just a terrific piece of work.
Robert Pinsky, poet laureate of the United States for the last 3 years. Pinsky says Mitchell Parrish's lyrics have wonderful poetic moments, and words like dusk and consolation make it melancholy. But are the lyrics poetry?
Oh, what a poetry. I don't know if it's really important to worry at that question. There are things that even the title, Stardust, I mean, it begins and ends with the same consonant sound, and that consonant cluster of ST comes back in Love Is Now the Stardust of Yesterday.
Not to be too thick about this, what is stardust?
Well, stardust is the star is when your love is new, and each kiss is an inspiration, which I think is one of the best phrases in popular music. Then after it goes away, there's a little dust left, a little glitter for what was bright. I guess stardust is the stars and to ecstasy as if you've had a really good candy bar, there's a little chocolate dust on the paper.
The melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you when our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration.
Mitchell Parrish's lyrics give singers a glorious song, but the music isn't easy to sing. It twists and turns and challenges the voice because the melody didn't come from Tin Pan Alley or Hollywood, where songs were written to be sung. Stardust sounds like something a jazz soloist might have invented, which is why so many jazz players take it up. In 1940, Artie Shaw and his orchestra recorded it and sold a million copies. By then, it was a standard. All the big bands had Stardust in their books. World War II gave the song a different context. Love and loss became the theme of popular music, separation and memories of love. After the war, Artie Shaw's band recorded Stardust again. This is the 1949 version.
Sing out the phrases bar by bar, or two or four bar, episode by episode, you can kind of feel them coming out of a horn. Do da da da, do di da da do, do da da do di do di do. It's so cornet-like, trumpet-like, that it kind of jumps out at you. Bud Freeman, the famous saxophone player, put it very well. He said, Carmichael's songs are the only songs that on which you don't have to improvise much because the improvisation is already in them.
Beside the garden wall, when stars are bright, you are in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses grew. Though I dream in vain, in my heart there always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
In 1978, more than 50 years after this song was written on a college campus in the heartland of the nation, a popular country singer introduced it to new generations. Today, people who never heard of Isham Jones or Artie Shaw or even composer Hoagie Carmichael know his work thanks to Willie Nelson. Stardust, an American song of longing, dreams, desires, still stretches across the decades to touch the spirit of anyone who hears it.
And though I dream in vain, in my heart there always will remain my stardust melody, the memory of love's refrain.
I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.
To see the complete list of the NPR 100, go to our website at npr.org.